You have got the capability on the inside of you to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to speak in new tongues, and to bring healing into people's lives. So that's really what our church is all about. And what we're going to start teaching you today is one of those keys to the kingdom that looses God's best in your life. But it's going to be completely determined by how much you're willing to do this in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. There you go. Praise the Lord. We're going to do something a little fun through this new series that I'm starting today called Praise the Lord. And what we're going to do is that every time you hear me say praise the Lord, I want you to say praise the Lord, hallelujah. And if I say hallelujah, you can just turn it right back around and say praise the Lord, amen. Because this is one of the most important keys that we have in the kingdom of God. But what I've come to learn is precious little in the body of Christ today actually even know what it means to praise the Lord and really what it means to do it and how to do it in their lives. So we're going to start teaching on this, and we're even going to mix some things up to where we do our praise and worship time at the end. We'll start off teaching, amen. So all of you that show up late, you better come on in a little bit early because the teaching will have already started. But we're going to be doing some fun, interesting things this time to really hopefully make our church known for its praise. Amen. How many of you would like to have a reputation in the community but also in the kingdom of God to be the best praiser there is on this planet? Well, amen. Let's go over to Psalm 150. This is going to be a passage of scripture that I'm going to start off in each week. Psalm 150, and if you'll just go to the book of Proverbs and go back a page, you'll find the 150th Psalm. Why? It's because it's the last Psalm. We have 150 songs, also called Psalms, where the subject of praising the Lord is the main deal. It's what we're focused on. And Psalm 150 is kind of like the climax of everything else we read in the first 149 Psalms. And in this Psalm, we've got this familiar phrase, praise the Lord. There we go. We're getting it. We're getting it. By about the third week, everybody in this place is going to be shouting praise the Lord. Amen. So praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and ask him right now, are you breathing? All right, if you're breathing, then this scripture says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Now, the thing I really want to get across to you as we go through this is this phrase, praise the Lord, is probably a phrase you have heard if you've been in Christian circles for any period of time. It's actually a part of our Christianese language. Amen. You know, and these are certain things that we hear. You go to church maybe for the first time, and maybe you're visiting us for the first time, and you've heard us make phrases like hallelujah or praise the Lord or use terms like redemption or sanctification and things like that, and you're wondering, what in God's name are they talking about? I've never heard terminology like this. Well, this phrase, praise the Lord, is a very popular phrase. I like it. Go ahead, do it. This is going to really come through good on the video. Amen. But this phrase is a very common one, but it's not something that we are just being given for information purposes. I think it's usually kind of used, like we'll read this, we'll say, okay, it says right here, praise the Lord. Right, and that's usually not what people do. They read it because it's just something you say, or they read it because it's just something that's written. But it is not just a statement, it is a call to action. When you see the phrase, praise the Lord, you see that in this phrase, you're being told to do something. I was explaining this to Levi on the way to church this morning. It's kind of like if I went to him and said, "Hey, Levi, praise the Lord." That's not just for you to just sit there and listen as it's just a statement. It's actually me telling you to do something. It's me commanding you. It's me instructing you. So when you see this phrase constantly throughout the Bible, what should be your response? When you see the phrase, "Praise the Lord," you should praise the Lord. Now here's something that you might not have known. When you look up this phrase here at the beginning and end of this psalm, this is actually where we get the word that you hear in our Christianese language called hallelujah. Amen. There you go. You're supposed to say praise the Lord. So it actually, this phrase comes from the Hebrew word hallel, which means to praise, and then the word Yah, which is the name for Lord or God. It's actually for Yahweh, or some would say Jehovah. Amen. So really, when you hear hallelujah, what does it mean? Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, you didn't know that, did you? Some of you might have known that. But that is actually really important to know. We say words, we make these kind of conversation, but what, do we really know what it means? And what we're going to do as we go through this series is we're going to find out what it actually means to praise the Lord. We're going to also find out how to do it and the power it unlocks in our lives. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can say hallelujah when I say praise the Lord too. You ain't going to get wrong to do that. Amen. So this is going to be a really good enlightening series where we're going to learn some really important things about the subject of praising the Lord. Now, I want you to go with me now to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Because I want to get something across to you today that praising the Lord is not just something that some people do and some people don't. It's actually a calling. It's a calling. And it's not just a calling for those that are up on stage with a microphone. This is something that's really interesting and I want you to understand today. Is that it's? I think it's kind of interesting that you actually do not find a place in the New Testament where the office or calling of a praise and worship leader is mentioned. Now, does that mean we're doing it wrong by actually having people with those titles? Not necessarily. I think some churches have started to understand, hey, it might not have mentioned anything like this in the New Testament, and so that's when they started calling praise and worship leaders, as we call them, praise and worship pastors. Some call it that. So they put it under the pastor office. I think you can also make the case that those that are called to lead us into worship on the stage might be under the gift of exhortation. So they're exhorting people in doing this. But this is the thing that I really wanted you to get today concerning it. I think there's a reason why you don't have a specific office given to this in the Bible. You know why? Because we're all called to be praisers. It's not just for those to sit up there and for us to watch and, oh, I was blessed by the song service today. No, we all have a calling. We all have a mandate, and it is to praise the Lord. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, teaches us this. And I want you to notice this passage. It's a very powerful verse. It says, "But you," so turn to your neighbor and say, "You." "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." In some translations it says, "peculiar people." Now that seems to more accurately reflect most churches, right? We got some peculiar people that go to church. But no, it just literally means special people. "That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Now, most people read this and they think this is talking about somebody else. Oh, this isn't talking about me. In fact, a lot of people, I've heard some commentators say that this is really just talking about to the nation of Israel. Because why? The way He refers to them is in a lot of the same ways in the Old Testament God referred to the Jewish people. He would call them a chosen people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and his own special people. He actually did refer to the Jewish people this way, but I'm going to prove to you this morning, this isn't just talking about Israel. This is talking about all that are a part of the body of Christ today. And you know how you know that? Look at verse 10. Verse 10 said, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Why would you write a letter to a group of people and saying you once weren't a people and you hadn't obtained mercy, but now you have, if he was talking about Israel? No, he's talking about now the body of Christ, the true Jerusalem of God today, amen. And that's talking about you and I. And as we've been emphasizing on different platforms that we've been using here, God definitely is honoring his covenant with Israel, and so should we in praying for and honoring what God has done. But that's not where it ended. That's the root, but now we're the branches. All of us that are Gentile converts and have now been brought into the kingdom of God, now you and I have obtained the same promise made to Israel that what? We are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. That means that you are now kings and priests unto our God, as Revelation says. And you are now a holy nation unto the Lord. This isn't talking about the United States of America, nor is it talking about Israel. This is talking about in the Spirit, God's got a people. And we are a part of those people. And so now we've obtained this mercy and have become His special prized treasure. Thank God for that. But this is the point I want you to get in verse 9. After he says all these things that you are, I want you to notice what the purpose of it is. Halfway through this verse, it says that. Now, when you see the word that, you could translate it in order that. Okay? In other words, to this intent, or this is the purpose by which God has made you chosen and holy and a royal priesthood, and you've obtained this mercy. It's so that one thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, one thing. This is just one thing he makes mention of out of everything else he could have said. And what was the purpose? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I thought it was very ironic or God-cidental that we sang that song where he had called us out of darkness this morning. Amen. Because why? I was just sitting there laughing because this is one of the things that we're praising God about. Amen. It is so that we can glorify the one who brought us out of darkness, opened our eyes, and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son where there is everlasting light. Glory be to God. So now we have a purpose. We have a calling. And what is it? It's to proclaim the praises. Now, the interesting thing is, the word that's used for proclaim here literally means, when you break it apart in the original language, it means out of a messenger or an angel. It's actually got contained in this word, the word angelos, where we have our word angel mentioned. So in other words, what declaring is, it's to come out of a messenger or God's angel. Amen. So what does this mean? It is what you are doing. It's what's coming out of you. You know, I've run into a lot of different people before that say, well, it's just my personality, Pastor, that during the song service to just kind of sit there and reflect and meditate on what God's doing and all those kind of things. And while that might be honorable, and there might be a time and place for that, when it's praise and worship time, that is not the time to have your mouth shut. Why? Because you have a calling. To what? Proclaim. It's what's coming out of you. Amen. Now, when you study the life and ministry of angels that I just referred to, if you were to ask an angel, hey, what do you do? You know, we like to ask people, what do you do? Like, if you meet somebody for the first time, what's the first thing probably you're going to say is, how you doing? Well, first of all, you're asking that question, you don't really care how they're doing most of the time, do you? Most of the time, you don't ask. You're not listening. And same reason why we don't remember people's names. Because we'll say, what's your name? And then we don't remember it. Because why? We don't care how they're doing. And we don't care what their name is. But you know what usually we care about? Is the next question. What do you do? And we'll listen to what people say concerning their calling, their vocation, what their job is, right? Well, if you ask an angel, what do you do? What do you think an angel would respond with? Angels say, well, I go where I'm a servant of the Most High God, and I go where He wants me to go. I do what He wants me to do, and I say what He wants me to say. And they might also include in there, and I pretty much live my existence to praise and worship the Almighty. You know how I know that's what they'd say? Because that's what you see. When the shepherds saw the angels at Jesus' birth, what were they doing? Praising God. In the book of Revelation, when you see what the hosts of heaven are doing, what are they doing? Praising and worshiping the Lord. So that's a primary activity by angels. It's what comes out of them. But it's not just in angels and in heaven that you see this. You can actually read tons of verses. I could go through a bunch of verses where things such as the stars, the sun, the moon, created things on this planet are praising God. There's tons of verses that talk about how all of God's creation is constantly praising the Lord. Didn't the Lord Jesus say that if these young ones don't cry out, even the rocks will cry out? So we're talking about things that don't even have life in them, have a mandate, a calling to do what? Praise the Lord. Amen. So we find that if all of God's creation here on the earth, all of God's creation in heaven is praising God, then what do you think us, the crown of His creation, the ones created in His likeness and image, what do you think we should see ourselves as? Praisers. I'm a praiser. Now, if I came to you and said, hey, what do? You might respond with something like, well, I'm a cashier. I'm a banker. I'm a lawyer. I'm a pilot. You might come out with all those different things, and oftentimes we associate ourselves with what our job is on this earth. But I want to renew your mind today that one of your best responses if somebody says, what do? Is this, I'm a praiser. Amen. Now, don't mistake me for saying I'm an appraiser. Right? Which I think is really interesting that really says in the English language, if you break it apart, a praiser. Because what does an appraiser do? An appraiser estimates the value of something. Right? So what does a praiser do? We're estimating the value of God and letting that estimation come out of our mouth. We make declarations of how valuable, of how important, of how beautiful and how wonderful our God is. That's what it means to praise the Lord. Amen. So what are we learning here? It is that we all got a job. You got a job. You got a calling. You got a vocation. And what is it? It's to be a praiser. It is to worship the Lord. It is to praise the Almighty. But this is the point I really want to get across to you today, and this is something I'm really excited about. This is definitely going to preach this morning. Amen. Sometimes I love to teach, but I like to preach too. And this one right here is, not only do you got a job, but in this job, you've got some benefits. Amen. Amen. How many of you have got some benefits in a physical job that you work on this planet? You got some nice benefits. There's some good things that you got. Well, I'm going to share with you today that you've got some spiritual benefits to praising the Lord. Let's go to the 103rd Psalm. Oh, thank the Lord. You're going to see this psalm in a different way than you've ever seen it before today. The Lord started putting all these things together to me. And usually when I start getting some good stuff straight out of the oven of heaven, you know, that good kind of manna, I got to go tell somebody. And if you're anywhere close to me, I'm going to come to you and say, hey, hold up a second. Let me share with you some of this good bread of life. Now, we're familiar with the first couple of verses, but we're going to get into some of the other ones. He starts off by saying, bless the Lord, which means praise the Lord. And he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Now stop right there for a second, because this is something that needs to be said. In order to partake of the benefits of your job, you got to show up. How many of you know you're not going to hold a job too quick if you don't show up to work. Your employer's going to let you go at some point. Right, Rick? You going to keep some of your employees around if they call in repeatedly at your place? No, not going to happen. You got to actually show up. It's kind of like what David's saying right here. How many times have you woke up on a Monday morning where you had to get up and go to work and your alarm went off and everything in you wanted to just roll over and turn that alarm off and turn over and go back to sleep? But what do you got to do in order to maintain your job and partake of some of these benefits? You've got to get up, rise up, and go to work. Amen. So what are you going to do when it comes to this? There's going to be plenty of times where you're not going to feel like praising God. There's going to be plenty of times where you're not going to have it in you, in your flesh, in your mind, in your emotions, a desire to lift up your hands and lift up your voice and give God the glory. How many of you know that? There's going to be a lot of times where it's not going to happen. But what do you do anyways? You do your job. You show up to work and you start praising the Lord anyways. That's why it's called the sacrifice of praise. Amen. Now, here's another important point, though. In the second verse, notice what he says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't do this, and forget not all his benefits. Now, don't be confused by the way this verse is worded. I remember when I was young, it's amazing what you really kind of retain as a young person. And I was raised in a Christian household, and I used to hear this verse, and forget not all his benefits. So you're saying me, I can forget a bunch of them, just don't forget them all. That's what it sounded like it was saying to me as a young person. No, really what it means is, don't forget any of them. I wonder how many people have jobs and work in places where they have not truly come to know. They've forgotten, maybe. They went to orientation and they told them all the different benefits they're going to have in their job, and they just totally are not partaking and taking advantage of all the benefits they have in that job. Do you reckon that might happen to some people? I remember it was like that with me. When I was younger and I got a job, what was I worried about? The only thing I cared about was how much am I getting paid an hour and what is that paycheck going to look like? And they were trying to tell me, oh man, we got a 401k. And if you'll just contribute a little bit out of your check, we'll match it. How many of y'all ever had a job like that? And how many of you didn't partake of that benefit? Yeah, because I didn't want to give any more out of my paycheck. I wanted all that money now. How many of you know that was foolish? Amen. So what I'm saying is that you can have benefits and not know about them, forget about them, or be ignorant of them. And I wonder how many people in the body of Christ are absolutely ignorant of all the benefits we have in this employment in the kingdom of God. Everything God said you can have, he says, don't forget any of it. Amen. Now, thank God David was kind enough to start laying out what some of those benefits were. And so what I'm going to do is we're going to look at some of these benefits in Psalm 103, but we're going to compare it to how your job is on this earth and some of the benefits you have. So are you ready? Praise the Lord. I can get you to answer that way. Verse 3, don't forget any of his benefits. And what's the first one? Who forgives all your iniquities. Now, don't get lost in the fact he uses the reference to sin as being iniquities here. You know, transgressions, trespasses, sins, and so forth. Put them all in a lump sum. But here's the first and most important benefit of your employment in the Father's business. You know what it is? It's that all your sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Amen. See, I kind of compare this to being like the most important benefit of your job. What is it? Your salary. Amen. How much you get paid. Isn't that the most important thing when you go work somewhere? What is my hourly or annual salary? What is it? And that's important. That is the most important thing, like it is with the forgiveness of our sins. There is nothing more important than what's taken place on the inside of us spiritually and what God's done for us in terms of erasing all of our sins and making us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's the most important. But that's not the only benefit you got. Like it is in your job, a lot of us have other benefits other than your income and your salary. And what are they? Well, glad you asked. Look at the next one. Who heals all your diseases. So physical healing is a part of our benefit package in the Lord. What does this sound like to you? How about medical or health insurance? How many of you know how awesome it is to have a good health insurance package in your job? If you don't know that, it's because you've never had to pay out of pocket for it. How many of you ever had to pay out of pocket for your health insurance? It's crazy expensive, isn't it? Likewise, physical sickness and disease can be crazy expensive too. It can cost you a whole lot more than you want to pay. But God, in His benefit package, has provided for you, completely paid in full, all the medical and health insurance you're ever going to need. On top of that, it gets even better. You also have prescription drugs included in it. You know how I know that? Well, the Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23, it says, "Incline your ear to my sayings, give attention to my words, for why? They are life to those who find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh." So, our great divine physician was so good not only to provide us with the health and medical insurance, but He also gives us the prescription waiting at the pharmacy, full and paid for. There's no deductible, baby. It's completely taken care of by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ through His stripes. And now you and I have the capability to walk in not just in divine healing, but divine health. Because why? You got some health insurance. Glory to God. Now it gets even better. Because not only do we have the benefit of what? Having all of our sins taken care of, all of our physical issues taken care of, guess what else you got included in your benefit package of praise? Who redeems your life from destruction. So guess what else you got? Life insurance, glory to God. It's nice having some life insurance, particularly if you're the beneficiary of it, amen? Well, in the kingdom of God, you got some life insurance too. Glory to God. Guess what it is? It's called resurrection life. Eternal life. Oh, glory to God. It is the abundant life. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life, and life more abundantly." And I love how the Amplified Bible goes on to say, "Life to the full till it overflows." It's that cup overflowing kind of life. And so, the life He's talking about here is not just the life you get in your spirit when you're born again. That's a big part of it. But it's also a quality of life here on the earth now that God desires for you to have. Why? Because you've got some life insurance. Amen. So that you can experience that kind of quality and awesome life that God said you can have. Now, this next one is really exciting too, because it's something that I don't necessarily have, and actually I think it's just kind of a frivolous benefit that you can have because it don't really pay for much. Notice what He goes on to say next in verse 4, at the end of verse 4. After He says He redeems your life from destruction, He says, "Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." And then He goes on to say in verse 5, "Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." You know, when I read this, a couple of words stood out to me. Crowns and mouth. Which benefit do you think I might be going to next? Dental insurance, glory to God. We've got some dental insurance in the kingdom of God too, amen. To where, how many of you know He will crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies? What a beautiful and awesome promise we have from the Lord that He said He will do this so that what? Your youth will be renewed like the eagles. Oh, glory to God. And so He goes on to say in verse 6, a lot of these other benefits, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Let's keep reading. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. These are benefits. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. Why? As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, and He remembers that we are dust. I'm going to end with that. You get the point, don't you? There's a lot of awesome benefits we have in the kingdom of God. Thank God for the salvation that we experience. Thank God for the forgiveness that we have in Christ Jesus. But man, there is so much more to be partaken of, called health insurance, life insurance, dental insurance, and I got another good one for you, a retirement. Amen. Oh, glory to God. There is a retirement account that God has given you. Amen. So even in this life, if you don't experience everything God wants you to have, man, at least you got the next life. I mean, my father in the faith, Andrew Womack, was dealing with this one person one time that was married, and they were in a really difficult marriage. And it was really hard, and they were just struggling in this, and it was just the big, most difficult thing before them. And in order to encourage this person, he said, well, you got to promise that in heaven people will neither be married nor given in marriage, so you can at least rejoice in the fact you ain't going to have to put up with it then. Glory to God! So whatever it is you're going through, I mean, amen, you got something good to look forward to, don't you? In heaven, we've got the best and most glorious retirement package. Amen. So all of this you've got, not just to be benefited from annually, quarterly, monthly, or even weekly. In the Psalms, that last Psalm that I gave you, Debbie, the last Psalm, look at this, I want you to notice how often you can partake of these benefits. Blessed be the Lord, that's praise the Lord, who daily, say daily, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation, Selah. So when can you experience these benefits in your life? Every day. Glory be to God. You can have health insurance today. You can have life insurance today. You don't have to wait till somebody dies to partake of this life insurance. Amen. You can have it now. How many of you would like to have some of your life insurance on this planet without somebody actually dying? It'd be nice to have it on the front end, wouldn't it? Right? Well, God said you can have it on the front end. Because why? Jesus already died for you that you might have it. Oh, glory to God. He daily, and I love this word, loads. Loads. I looked it up just to make sure. It really talks about like a load, like a burden, like a heavy haul. Glory to God. Isn't that nice right there? I mean, it's kind of like somebody coming, I'm bringing you some money over to your house. It'd be nice for me to empty my wallet and give you something, Wendell. But wouldn't it be nice if I came over with a dump truck full of money? That's a load. Amen. And just dumped it out right there. A load of benefits. This is great to me. So all of these different things God says are the benefits of what? Being a praiser. So like I said earlier, you're not going to benefit from this, all of these things, apart from doing your job. You got to be a good employee. Amen. You got to be somebody that shows up to work, that works hard, that's an asset to the company. Amen. And God does look at these things. And I'm trying to get across to you today the main thing He's looking for in you. Your primary purpose, your calling, everything God wants out of you. A lot of times we think, well, it's to go to church, or it's to tithe, or it's to do this and do that. All of these things are important, but I think sometimes we don't prioritize this calling the way it needs to be. You and I are called to be praisers. We're called to praise the Lord. And when we do that, these benefits come as a result. This is when the dump truck shows up at your house, loaded with benefits. Amen? So what should you be doing if you're having a lack of one of these benefits in your life? What's really the best thing to do? Well, start doing your job, even when you don't feel like it. Praise the Lord. And start lifting your hands and start worshiping the Lord, even though you don't feel like it, even though everything in you is distracted and doesn't feel like it's the right thing to do. Open your mouth wide and declare His praises. Let it come out of you and start giving God the glory. Start worshiping Him. If you don't know what to say, just lift your hands and say, Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and say, Praise the Lord. And then do it again. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord. And as you start doing that, the more you're praising God, the more you're doing your job well, and the more you're going to get paid for it. All these benefits start happening. And I'll show you a real. I learned this from Norval Hayes. How many of you are familiar with Norval Hayes? He used to have an awesome teaching ministry about praise and worship particularly. And he said, the key is, whatever you need to see in your life, start praising God for that. So say you're not doing so well financially. Say you're having some financial difficulties, you're having lack, you seem to be just really struggling, you're just kind of in that wilderness going around the mountain. What do? Praise God that He is the one that meets all your needs according to Christ Jesus in His glory. That He is the one that is your blessing. He is the one that provides all your needs. And you start praising and worshiping Him for something maybe you've not seen in the natural yet, but whatever you start praying, listen to me now, whatever you praise God for today is what you can see tomorrow. Did you hear what I said? So if it's physical health, thank you, Lord, that you're my healer, that you said in your word that you heal all my diseases. Thank you, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And that, Lord, you have given me all of the health that I'll ever need. You bore my sicknesses. You carried my pains. I praise you that you are my healer, that you are my Jehovah Rapha. See, this is what it means to praise the name of God. All of His names reflect a part of His character and what He wants to give you in His covenant. Amen. So what do you start doing? You do what Abraham did. He had promises forever that God wanted to provide him with a nation through him and just a plethora of nations and peoples to come through him. Yet he never saw the manifestation of that promise until 24 years later. So he had a lot of promises, like you got a lot in your Bible that might not be working for you right now. But do you know what he did? And this was the real deal that changed it. God revealed himself to him as what? He said, I am Almighty God, which was the Hebrew El Shaddai, which literally meant the all-breasty one. And in their terminology, what they used that for back then, today we're all skewed just looking at things in the wrong way. But back then, to refer to the all-breasty one meant he's got more than enough provision. Amen. So he is therefore the God who is almighty and more than enough. So God reveals himself to Abraham as the more than enough God. And as he saw God as the provider to him like that, then God changes his name. He becomes Abraham, the father of many nations. So what was he doing? He saw God the way he needed to see him, and then he changed the way he identified himself. And in doing that, Sarah immediately conceives. The manifestation of the promise started coming. This is gold this morning for you, saints. This is how you and I partake of the benefits. So what I do is, whatever it is I'm lacking and have need of in my life, like, for example, it could be that you don't have a relationship that you desire. Well, I want a man. Oh, you do? It's funny, because a lot of times we've had people come sit in our office before and say, well, I believe in God for a wife. Oh, really? Yeah, and she's going to look like this, she's going to make this kind of money, and I'm asking the Lord to do all these different things. And I want to say to those people and say, wait now, is that fair she gets you? Amen. Prepare yourself for what you're believing God for. Amen. Get yourself ready. And do what? Start praising God for how much He wants to do in your life today. Thank you, Lord, that you're my provider. You're my healer. And in this case with a relationship, Lord, thank you that you are my husband. You are the only relationship I'll ever need. You think, I'm talking to somebody in this place today, you think you need that relationship. No, the only relationship you need is the Lord. And I've come to find out something, that when somebody gets to the place to where they are satisfied truly in their heart with their relationship with Christ Jesus, then the Lord is able to give them the relationship they desire. But when they're out there searching for it on their own and trying everything they do and dating everybody and their mama to try to find something, it don't work that way. Amen. Ask my wife. This is how she got her Boaz, praise God. Y'all might say, that might not be a blessing. Amen. Maybe it is. You have to ask her. But you know, she got to the place, she was dating around. She was a little bit older when we met and got married. But it was when she got to the place to where she was fine with her relationship with the Lord and she wasn't idolizing another relationship. Amen. 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 That's good preaching, Pastor Trey. Yeah, thank God. Amen. Everybody needs to hear this. Because this is how it works in the kingdom of God. If I will start praising God for who He is and what I need to see Him be in my life, the more my life will start beginning to partake of all those benefits. Amen. This is how it works. This is how He loads you with benefits. Let's stand on our feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you are going to start doing your job this week? You're starting to see things a little bit differently, and you're starting to realize, man, this isn't just a suggestion. It's not just something I'm conveniently supposed to do. It's not even just what you're supposed to be doing on Sunday morning. Now, we should be doing it corporately, but you know what will make our praise service even better every Sunday morning? If everybody in this place would praise God on Monday morning, just them and Him. And you might say, well, Pastor, I don't sing well. Well, like I heard a guy say one time, he said, no, everybody can sing. Not everybody should record, but everybody can sing. Amen. God just wants to hear your voice. How many of you got young kids? Man, when you had little kids, it didn't matter. You weren't sitting there saying, oh, you're not singing good. If they'd sing you a song. You were blessed by it just because of their heart. God's blessed by it if you'll just worship Him and praise Him and lift your voice. So we're going to be learning some ways in which to do that in this place in the weeks to come, to where we're going to learn how to praise the Lord. We're going to get into some Hebrew words, and you're going to find out a lot of you have been doing it wrong for a long time. There's a lot of activity involved in worship. There's a little bit more of this stuff we're starting to see at the front during praise and worship that is reflected in God's idea of praise. He likes it loud. He likes it demonstrative. And that's what praise does. So we're going to be learning some good stuff and getting to practice some of it today. Lord, we thank you today for your word that we are employed to praise. That we are praisers for you. But Lord, we're so thankful today that in doing so, we've got many different benefits. We have got a load of benefits that you daily have called us to partake of when we learn to praise you. So we thank you, Father, that you're teaching us these things today and in the days ahead. You're going to continue to open our eyes to these things. We bless you and we thank you for all that you're doing in us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise Him right now. Glory to God. Lord, we start now praising you, worshiping you, giving you glory. We thank you that you're our provider, our healer, the one that delivers us and redeems our life from destruction. We thank you today for teaching us these things and for giving us the strength and willpower to be the best praisers on this planet and be the best workers for you we can be. In Jesus' name, amen.